Please open your Bible to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The title of the message is what the Chinese waitress says to you when she brings you your water. Enjoy. You know, that's, and so that's what I hope you could do with this morning. You know, this is kind of strange, but I was having my blackstrap molasses and headed to the church one morning, so I was warming it up. And, you know, we've had this same appliance that warms our coffee and when we need to put it in there or a pizza or anything else. And that microwave has just always been there, but I never saw this before. I put the blackstrap molasses and water in the mixture in there, and it got real hot. And when I took it out, I mean the little keyboard up there blinked out big letters, it looked like, "Enjoy." And I thought, I didn't know that was there. I'd never seen it in these 3 or 4 years before. And it just blinked. You know how when you read the Bible sometimes and these words just come out like that, you know, to you? That's the way it was on my microwave. And so when I started back, it was just sort of like that God was saying to me, James, I want you to really enjoy your life. And I had to think back about when we were entertaining the staff from Mary's workplace that helped with the dying. And I had done a little research for a little talk I was going to make that day. Then I read about a lady who got kind of a nurse that just got burned out. And she didn't enjoy her work anymore. And so she started working with the dying people. And she worked there for years and years and felt a real calling to help people who were dying. So she talked to hundreds and thousands of dying patients in those years, and she wrote a book that became fairly well known, The Five Biggest Regrets of the Dying. And the last one was this, that I regret that I didn't let myself enjoy my life more. And so as I thought about those things, a passage came to me in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read one verse, and the big message here is for you, is to enjoy what God has done for you and given to you. Listen to verse 17 as the Apostle Paul kind of winds down his letter to Timothy, and he has been charging Timothy with different duties as a pastor, and now he tells Timothy to charge those who have lots of money and lots of wealth in this world. And so he writes these words in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now here's a passage that tells us something that will delight the heart of God if we'll only listen, and that is God wants us to enjoy Him and enjoy what He's given us. It's a great blessing to God. And so let's pray that God will teach us in this lesson how to enjoy what we have here in our nation, in our community, in our church, in our relationships, because that blesses God as He blesses us. Brother Larry, will you word this prayer for us, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before You, Father, this morning, thanking You for this day that You've given us, Father. And, Father, yes, we especially thank You for being here with us this morning, thank Father, in a mighty way. Father, You give us all these things on this earth to enjoy, Lord, and sometimes we don't enjoy them like You would have us to. So, Father, I pray this morning You teach us, Lord, how to enjoy what You've allowed us to have. Father, I pray a blessing on Brother James, Lord. Just speak through him this morning as he brings us Your word, Lord, and just teach us what You would have us to know. Lord, we love and praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At least I want to thank you again for the great job you did. You know, I was just kept thinking there a few minutes ago that if we could only gotten her a little more excited, we could have had a revival here today. And so so it was good to hear that passion, excitement. We have some guests that came in later after the service. I hope you got to hear part of the worship service, did you, the music? And well, we're glad that you guys are here. Thank you for being here. This word here that he charges those that are rich not to trust in their riches, because it's so easy to do that. When you have a lot of money, it's easy to learn to trust in it It's when it disappears or when you fall away from having the wealth, the health, all these things that you really know where your trust is. So in a way, it's a very good thing for us to have financial reversals in our spiritual life. Sometimes it's a good thing to go through the trials of afflictions. David said it was. If David said it was, it must be. He said, "It is good that I have been afflicted." Why? Can you finish that? "It is good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." So sometimes it's through the pain that we go through that we learn a whole lot more than we learn on the mountaintops. But I want to speak to you about really enjoying God, enjoying our country, because this is the 4th of July weekend where we take a little time, and I hope we do, take some time to praise God and thank God to live in this wonderful country that we're living in. I think it was in the 1700s when this document was put together. It was called the Westminster Catechism, and the Presbyterians, I think, had put together a shorter catechism. But what this was 100 questions and answers about what every Christian should know about God. Now, don't you think that would be a really good, worthy thing for us to use? And not too many churches today nor denominations really go down and teach like 100 things that you need to know about God right after you get saved. But here's the first one that was written in those catechisms about what Christians ought to know about God, and it goes something like this. What is the whole duty of man? That's the question. Does anybody, with the exception of Tom Davis, know that answer? You know, I asked that question at a service where there was a few preachers present, and they didn't know it, and nobody there knew it. Every Christian knew these answers in the 1700s, in the 1800s. They all knew this. These questions and answers were so familiar to them. They taught their children these things. But here was the whole duty of man, the first question, what is the whole duty of man? And the whole duty of man, the answer was to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's our duty as a Christian, is to glorify God, do everything that we can do to glorify the one who created us and created all that we have, and then to enjoy God forever. Do you know why I didn't jump at the chance to be a preacher when I was 12 years old, when I felt called, or later as I was a teenager, as I went to churches and thought about really serving God, because I thought about it very seriously. You know why I didn't? Because the Christian folks look so unhappy in church. And I thought, man, I'm going to resign myself to preaching to these unhappy people all my life, and I'll probably get unhappy too. And you know, a lot of people today don't enjoy God or don't enjoy their church life, or don't enjoy their relationships, because they don't know that's their whole duty in life, to glorify God. And if you glorify God, let me tell you something, you're going to love everything that God's given you. If you glorify God in your life, you're going to love and enjoy your wife, your husband, more than you ever imagined you could. If you glorify God in life, you're going to love your kids. You'll even love your grandkids coming over and seeing you. I mean, you'll love everything that you've got. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and do what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven." So when you are doing things that are bringing glory to God, and that's why you're doing them, and the Bible says that literally we can, everything that we can do to the glory of God. Whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, Paul says in the book of Corinthians, do all to the glory of God. And when he writes to the Corinthians about it's not all about them, it's not all about what they want to do, it's all about God, he asks them this question, what? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, and you are not your own, but you're bought with a price? Can you finish this? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. The way that you really enjoy every aspect of your life and every day of your life is to live it to the glory of God. To do what you do, not because it's convenient for you, not because it's what you want to do, but what you're doing and what you're thinking is you're wanting to bring glory to God in your life for everything that you say or do. So today I think that I might use the microphone, this handheld mic, for some of you to help me preach this message this morning. We'll see how God leads us in this. But I want to first of all think about enjoying all the things that God has given you. And then last of all, I want to go over how to enjoy God. But I think that how you enjoy the things that God has provided for you is one of the chief ways of enjoying God. Like, for example, I built a tree house out in the backyard. I've had tree houses in other places that I've lived because Carolyn really likes to climb up in those tree houses. And so she just got to have one. Is that the reason you think? No, no. Or it's because I love to build tree houses. Well, no, that's not the thing. But what delights me is when my kids look at something that's out there to play on, that they run to it, and they jump on the swings, and they start swinging, or they walk across the bridge, or they drive a tricycle down the sidewalk, and we got some real terrible-looking tricycles around our house and wagons and things like that, you know. But I love to see the kids enjoying something that I did for them. Do you think I'm like God in that respect? I'll tell you, I'm exactly like God in that respect, because God enjoys every time he sees you smile, every time he sees you have a good time with people you love, every time he sees you enjoying the things he has provided for you. So it would take me all day to talk about the things that God has provided, but I want to use this psalm to help us get started here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Let's look at these five. Who forgives all our iniquities. Who heals all of our diseases. Who saves our life from destruction. Who crowns us with loving kindness and mercies. Paul's going to love this next one. Who fills our mouth with all good things, that our health is renewed like the eagles. Did you know that God gets excited when we buffet our bodies? Or when we buffet our bodies, he gets excited. But he gets excited when we even eat, when we enjoy eating what God has given us. And I made a commitment to enjoy that. And by the grace of God, I've lived up to that commitment for a long time now, in enjoying these things. But I want us just to go through some of these things, okay? Give you a chance to help me preach this message about enjoying our food. you know, the food that God has given you that renews your body. Now, I don't think that some of the junk food and some of the stuff that we eat is included in this thing, but it says this. It says, who fills our mouth with all good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So that means there's a whole lot of good tasting food that God has given us upon this earth that is for two purposes, for our enjoyment and for our renewal of our strength and our lives. And I'm learning to enjoy some foods like that. And there's, you know, I have to admit, you know, that I love some of that junk food a lot. But did you know that I think that we can glorify God if we renewed our taste buds a little bit so that we enjoyed eating the things that God made for us that is so good and that would renew our strength and help us the very most? It would be one way to glorify God, wouldn't it? But I want just some quick testimonies. So make this short in each one of them so that others can do it. But who has enjoyed eating Larry's cooking for us here at church? I see your hand. Yours is the first one went up. Tell me why.
It's so good.
Okay, say it into the mic, little sister.
It's so good.
Okay, all right. It really is good. Anybody else want a quick testimony about your food? What's your favorite food? Ribs. Okay, man. He really does. And he doesn't even like chicken. Now, he's like God like that. But let's pray for him because he's missing a blessing, isn't he?
You know, all of that is true about the food, but one of the things I enjoy the most is seeing his hands, or CJ's hands, serving me. Handing it to me just makes it that much better.
Praise God. I know. I mean, every fellowship that we have, I get this question asked to me as I'm eating somewhere. Do you want a green tea, Brother James? And he's taking the cap off because he already knows the answer to that. But, you know, enjoying your food. Just think about this. If you really sit down, and I mean pray to prayer, thanking God for what you're eating, asking God to make that food do its very best for you, and learning to eat some right things. Like, how many of you have ever eaten the wrong thing so much that you're sick for a day or two? You know, if you could learn to eat just this, you know, take, balance out carbohydrates and good fat and good protein. Eat those, you'll feel great. The other morning, Carolyn cooked us up a bunch of range eggs from our chickens. I know I don't mention this very much to you, but these chickens are really delighting my heart because these eggs are full of omega fats. That's the kind of fat you need, and the kind of proteins in that egg, too. And, man, does it taste good. My grandkids are loving these eggs. We're going to have to increase the chicken flocks in order to feed all of them. But there's such good things. Anybody else want to share something about your experience with God's food and how you enjoy it? Anybody? Okay, Brother Ken. Let me get you on the mic. This is going out viral over the internet, so be careful.
I just recently tried planting some things, and I just love asparagus, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get me some asparagus and grow it. And after a couple of years, now it's prospering. And I love asparagus, and I love it cooked, and I love it raw, and I love salads, and I'm just really experiencing a lot of good things that aren't bad for me.
Well, amen. Let me start tithing that stuff to your pastor and glorify God with it, because that would be really a great, great way to do that. All right, who else? Oh, Sister Mary, okay. Now, this ought to be good because David and Mary really taught us all the good food spots in the world.
Okay, one of the wonderful things about Larry and CJ, well, we didn't say enough about them, I don't think, but what I love about it is that they're ministering to us.
Amen.
And they always fix comfort food, something that's just really delicious.
Amen.
But it's watching them. They love to take care of us and to feed us, and it's just a blessing.
Amen. And I don't know if you thought about it, but what a great ministry food is. Jesus fed multitudes of people, 5,000 at one time, 10,000 at one time, and thousands at another time, because he had compassion for them. And in the ministry of food is a way that you can pour out your love to people. It really is. And so every time we eat, I suspect you guys are going to be eating somewhere at lunch, and just I hope that you'll think this is going to be the best meal. As I sit down, I'm going to eat it to the glory of God and give him thanks every time I take a bite of it. So when you are thankful like this to what God has done, the gratitude of your heart connects with God, because he wants you to enjoy everything that he's put on this earth that's good for us. Now, the second thing in ascending order of the psalm that I did is the expression of loving kindness and tender mercies that God has done to you through someone else. I have a lot of these, and so I'm not going to try to monopolize the time, but let me just mention the first time that I really... On the first Christmas or second Christmas when Caroline went into the ministry, we had an old car that was just shot, and the tires were about to be worn out, and I had looked for some tires, and I was going to have to spend a couple of $100 to buy some good tires, and we just really didn't have it. Christmas was coming up, and then that night I dreamed that our only deacon of the church, Wayne McDuffie, gave me $200 at church. And so in my mind, as he gave me this $200, I said, look, Brother Wayne, I don't really need this, because I was really prideful and stuff, you know. And I said, other people need this better. And then I woke up and I thought, why did I dream something like that? I slapped my face asking like that. I said, you're an idiot, James. What are you thinking about in your dreams, you know? Well, the next Sunday, I always came in church and sat right here. And Wayne always came and sat right here. And so I had my Bible open. I was looking at my sermon I was going to preach. And he he sat down there beside me, and he always said the same thing. He'd put his arm around me, and he'd look over the little church. This was Lunsford Baptist Church, and he would say, "Well, preacher, it looks like there's pretty slim pickings here today." He said every Sunday, you know. And so we'd laugh about it. So he came and said that, and then he said, "Brother James," he said, "God has told me to do something here." And I said, "Okay, well, go ahead and do it then." And he said, "Okay." And he put a $100 bill in my Bible. And I looked at it, and the first thing I thought is, "Lord, I thought it was $200 that he was going to give me, you know." So, but he put that $100 in my Bible, you know. And I thought, where's the other one, you know. But then I said the same thing I said in my dream. "Brother Wayne, I don't really need this." I said, "You know, a lot of people are a lot worse off than I am." And I said, I appreciate it, but I don't. He said, "Shut up." He said, "God told me to do this." So you take, and tears start coming down my eyes, and I couldn't stop crying. All of a sudden, I couldn't stop crying. About a week later, he brought four tires over and gave me, put them on my porch. And he said, you know, they were still really good shape, but he had taken them off his truck, and they fit my car. And he said, "I was going to buy me some new cars, James, and I wanted to bring these to you." And God said, "There's the other 100, James," you know. And because I was thinking I needed to spend at least $25 a piece. And I want to tell you, that loving kindness and tender mercy absolutely changed me. It made me to be a giver, not a taker, but a giver, and a desire to give that has stayed with me to these years. Now, would somebody like to share something of loving kindness or mercies? Because the Bible says that mercies are new every morning. So I know you've had to have some. Who would like to share quickly now that you're not helping me? Okay. Okay, let me get this mic so we can catch your cry.
When I was a young kid, probably about 5 years old, and my dad was real strict about using the restroom before church, always before church. Don't do it, you know, and disrupt service. And I had to go real bad, and they were all singing in the choir, and I couldn't get his attention, but I had to go. Well, I went to sleep's what I done. Well, whenever I woke up, there was a puddle beneath me. And I looked at that, and I was very embarrassed. And after service, they had a eating, and one of my mom and dad's close friends, he walked over to me, and I know he's seen that puddle. He grabbed me up, and he said, "Come here, son." He put me right on his side, and he walked back there, and he sat me on his knee, and he said, "Honey, come here and get this boy something to eat." And she went and got me something to eat and brought it to me, and I'm thinking, "I'm soaking your leg." He never said nothing about it. That touched me so much.
Amen.
You know, and if we could just think the little things.
Amen.
Touch people's lives. That's touched me my whole life. And his daughter moved out here. It was in California where that was at. And she moved out here, and I told him I would help her out. And so every day I would go over there and ask her, does she need anything? And her car tore up. Me and my dad fixed her car for her. And a few years back, we went out to California again, and he said, "I want to tell you thank you for taking care of my daughter while she was out there." And I said, "No, I want to tell you thank you, because what you've done to me touched my heart so much." Mm. But I praise the Lord.
Praise, isn't that good? Praise God. You know, when someone does something that affects you that way, that helps you, it's God's touch. It's God working through that person. That's what brings glory to God. Anybody else want to share something about the tender mercies or loving kindnesses that God's brought to your life through someone else? Miss Myra?
I think God's always surprising me with things that people do. And one time, Tom and Linda Davis brought me a dozen pint jars, 5 pounds of sugar, because making jelly. And then one time, Tom gave me a whole roll of stamps, not a book, but a roll. And I didn't mean to be ungracious, but I said, "Why are you doing this?" And he said, "Well, you're always sending cards, and I know that can be expensive with stamps and cards." And I said, well, I really appreciate that. And then one time Larry Peterson bought a recliner for Byron when he was living. And one time Byron's brother gave us a car when I had wrecked our other one. And I don't know, so many things. And then once Brother James and, who was it, Lane Minton and was it Jordan?
Lane Melodies, and, oldest, and several others.
Jordan, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, they came and fixed a rail around my deck because I didn't have a rail. And I'm sure there's other things I don't remember right now, but that's enough. And I thank God for everything that everybody has ever done for me, and it is through God that those things happen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then the Bible says in the next passage, who redeems your life from destruction, which means actually that God, he saves you from the jaws of death. You would have died, but he did something. And I've shared numbers of things like that with you in the past, so I won't mention that, but would anybody else like to share a time when God actually saved your life through an accident or some other means? Anybody? I know we're not going to move until somebody shares. So, okay, Brother Lynn.
You know, Brother James, you were just mentioning a time when God actually saved your life. Well, that happened to me early in my life. In fact, it was on the day of my birth. I was about to be delivered as a breech birth. For some reason, my head wasn't in the right position, but something else was in the right position. But mother had suffered in the delivery room for hours trying to birth me. And the doctor attending her made a decision that they would just go ahead and take the baby's life so they could save the mother's life. The Lord had plans for me. And it wasn't to end on my birthday. God sent a physician in to consult with this man. He had the scalpel in his hand. This is a story that was told to me by my father and my uncle. And he was about to take the baby when this other physician said, let's give her 15 more minutes. During that 15 minutes, God delivered me.
Amen.
And I've been here now almost 70 years. This happened at my birth. God intervened, and I've been able to witness to person after person after person about his mercy and his Amen. Loving kindness.
Amen.
And some of you may not appreciate me sharing that blunt testimony. It may be distasteful to you, but it was glorious to me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Led. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Amen.
I just praise God that I know a bunch of folks named Straight and for what they have done for me. And I'll just share with you a quick moment that God saved my life. And to this day, I am, of course, eternally thankful. I just so happened that I'd like to duck hunt. And one morning, I got in a boat with two other guys. And we headed out, and before we got where we're going, we made mistakes of putting our waders on. And I heard those words, boys, we're going down. And the next thing I knew, with my waders on, I was completely underwater in 30-degree temperatures. And I don't know how deep the water was. I'm thinking 10 to 12 feet.
Wow.
But I remember some way, somehow, when my feet touched the bottom, somehow, some way, I got my head back above the water with those waders on, and I heard someone say, grab the boat. Because what had happened is that boat that I was in did a flip completely over. And when I heard somebody say, grab the boat, I don't know if it was one of the other guys with me or if it was God. But when I heard those words, I didn't even see the boat. It was a little 12-foot John boat. I didn't even see it. And all of a sudden, I just turned to my right, and there it was, and I reached out with my right hand, and I grabbed hold of it. And the other two guys that were there, God saw fit to save them too. So if I'm sure there's other people in here who have experienced something like that in their life, and it changes you.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. Who did someone else have there? Okay.
I was diagnosed in my early or late 40s with breast cancer, and God chose to reveal that to me at a very, very early stage of cancer. So God just saved my life, and I'm so thankful and blessed that He did.
Amen. 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 And Sandy just shared the fourth one with us, who heals all of our diseases. And just to make this point, that it takes God to heal a person's disease. Medical doctors know they can't really do that. They can, you know, give medicines, they can do other things, but God has to heal us if we're healed. And like Jeremiah said, if you heal me, Lord, then I will be healed. Because he realized that every time any of us have ever been healed, it was the healing power of God that had mercy on us and healed us. Then the last one, I don't know about you, but I am so very thankful about this, who forgives all our iniquities. Amen. Here's a hand.
When you get 90 years old, what ain't broken ain't working. So y'all have to bear with me some. In my younger life, me and my wife invested our life in a lot of young people. At one time, we had 8 young people in our house. And praise the Lord, I was living in Memphis. They didn't stay all that long. But one night at 10:30, this young lady called me and said, you don't have to worry about me anymore. I'm going to die. And then she hung up. And I asked my wife, what does she mean? Well, I knew she's committing suicide. And I said, you know where she is? She says, yeah, I know where she is. She's living in a house with some more young people. I said, come on, let's go get her. It was 10:30 at night, and I went over and picked her up, carried her to the hospital, and the next morning I checked at the hospital, and that nurse told me she wouldn't have lived very long. Mm. She had taken a whole bottle of sleeping pill. And to this day, I think she's got her life right.
Amen.
God bless her. And thank you, people.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to think of all that God has given us and all that God has done for us. And that's part of really enjoying God, is to enjoy everything, your home, your yard, your car, whatever God's allowed you to have. To thoroughly enjoy that and to thank God for it brings glory to Him. Now, I wanted to finish what enjoying God personally is like. One day, God appeared to Abraham, the great prophet, and He said to him, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. And He said, I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. The greatest thing that anybody can ever enjoy God with is coming to really know God personally and to be acquainted with all of His ways and to know His personality. And the only way you can really know that is to search the Scriptures that reveal what God is like, because God is identified in the Bible, and He's a lot different than the world thinks that he is. But the more you come to know what God is like, and it would be good for us to have that 100 questions and answers. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking about getting a study about that, and that would be really good for us to go over, because it would tell us most of everything that the book is telling us about what God is like. But the more that Abraham would get to know God, the more he would be able to enjoy God and enjoy everything that God had given him, which it was much. But Jeremiah the prophet makes this statement that's the same thing, that what God is really wanting, he's wanting us to be thankful for all that he's done for us, but he also wants us to get to know him personally and to know how he operates and to know what he's doing in this world. Listen to what Jeremiah said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And what this is all about is this, that when you come to see God doing things in your life, and sometimes it's judgment, sometimes it's chastisement. Have you ever been chastened of God, any of you? And was it a grievous thing? Yeah, while it was happening, but what did it produce? It produced joy. But then there's so much mercy that God gives you, so much love, so much tender mercies that he sheds upon us. But as we get to know him in the book and then in life, we get to know his personality. I wish someone would sing for us real soon the song, I Come to the Garden Alone While the Dew is Still on the Roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Then help me now with the verse. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I know that whoever wrote that song wrote it with an awareness of a personal relationship with God and exercised and spent time with him on a daily basis. The rest of those verses are so wonderful because they describe someone who's really come to know God in a deep way. And there have been times when things were not going well in my life. And there were times when I had pain just about every day. But in these precious moments when I could connect with God on a personal basis like that, the pain just disappeared. I wasn't aware of it. The fears I might have had were gone. And only this great security and deep love of God, who knew me better than anybody else did, and who knew my failings, and he knew my uprisings, and he knew my heart. And to know God that way truly is the greatest enjoyment in this world. I want you to bow your heads with me. And we want to reserve these last moments for someone who may be saying, you know, James, I don't think I really know him. Oh, I know he created me. And I've heard that Jesus died for me. But I don't guess I've really come to know him. That's going to be the central issue on judgment. Jesus is going to say to some, depart from me, you that work iniquities, because I never knew you. He meant he never had a personal relationship with that person. They never really talked. That person went through their entire life enjoying what God had given them, but never really thanking a personal God in a personal way. If you're here and you're without God, you cannot say, if I were to die tonight, I'd go to heaven. Please listen to these three things that God wants you to know about having eternal life. He wants you to know that you must repent of your sin. Now, what that means is you can't make up for your sin. You cannot pay for your sin, but you can repent of your sin and turn away from it and turn to God. That's what repentance is. Jesus said, unless you repent and turn to me, you will perish. Then the Bible says we cannot work and pay off a sin debt. The Bible says it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. You've got to have the mercies of God in your life, and you have to ask him and put your faith and trust in what Jesus did. So you asked him, Lord, I know you died on the cross for me, but today I'm putting my faith in you and what you did. And the clinching event is when you make Jesus the boss of your life. Because just like one of the children quoted that verse, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what that means is you're actually making him the Lord of your life. If you're willing to do those three things today, then I want you to pray this prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come down the aisle or fill out a card or shake my hand or anything like that. I'm asking you to deal with the God who created you, praying this prayer from your heart. Dear God, today I repent of my sins. Go ahead and pray that. I turn to you. Today I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And today, as well as I know how, I'm making Jesus the boss of my life. If you're praying that prayer today, please lift your hand up in the air and hold it up for just a moment. Anyone praying that prayer today? Amen. Then, would you just